As we begin here today, we're going to be looking at John chapter 4, verses 43 through 54. I'd like to invite you to pray with me, if you will, please. Heavenly Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit will be here to guide and direct us as we study your word. Open our hearts and minds to your teaching today. May your Holy Spirit give us the blessing that we've come here seeking. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, here in this story, of Jesus had left the woman at the well, and he is traveling now to Capernaum and Cana, and he is going there to minister to the people. You know, Jesus found it much easier to minister to people who were sick with all kinds of diseases, who were crippled, blind, couldn't speak. He had more success with people who were the poor and down and out than he did with the religious leaders of his day. The people who he ministered to readily were people who had a desire for his presence and for his blessings to them. And many of the Pharisees and the scribes and the elders of the churches, they saw the divinity of Christ through the miracles he worked and the healing and blessing that he brought to the people, and yet they hardened their heart to God with unbelief. We see in this story the nobleman coming to Jesus because his son is sick. And Jesus, as he left Samaria and he came into Cana, that's where he worked his first miracle a year earlier. The Samaritans believed in Jesus, but when Jesus left Jerusalem and Nazareth, he knew that in his own church where he grew up, the people did not believe that he was the Son of God and could work a miracle. He left there not working very many miracles at all because of their unbelief. We see this being carried over here. You look in verse number 45. Jesus said in verse 44, Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country. And so when he came into Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast. They also went into, because they also were there as witnesses to that. You know, some believe Jesus and the things that he've done. They've seen his miracles. They've seen the blessing in their life. But there are some people who had to have signs. Some people won't believe until it's too late. When they see Jesus coming in the clouds of glory, friend, to take his redeemed back home, then they'll want to believe. Guess what? It's way too late. Probation will have ended at that point. Those people that could have made a choice refuse to do that. When we breathe our last, our heart pumps its last beat, our probation has come to an end. Today is the day of salvation, friend. Whoever you are, wherever you're at, whatever your belief system is, today's the day to make a choice for Jesus. Today's the day, because we're not promised anything beyond this day. When probation closes for this world, it'll be too late for anyone to make a choice for Jesus. So I'm appealing to you today, whoever you are, wherever you're at, whether you're in this church, listening on the radio, or watching on the internet, today's the day for you to make a choice for Jesus. In verse 45, we notice here that they were at the feast at Jerusalem with Jesus. They had seen all the things that he did. There are people watching. The people watch Jesus, and the people were watching us. We need to be positive about what Jesus has done in our life. Jesus is an exact representation of the Father in heaven. When we have seen Jesus, we've seen what God looks like. When we see the love and mercy and compassion of Christ, we see what God is like in heaven. He's not some big ogre up in heaven with a club to beat us every time we make a mistake. We see through Jesus Christ that because of what he sacrificed on Calvary, we can be convinced that God loves us. That's the whole point of Calvary, to show us that God loves us enough to forgive us and to cleanse us through the blood of Jesus. We need to speak positive about this life. Listen, friends, if we want to attract people to Jesus, it's just like the bees that are at our house and all of those hives that my son has there. Guess what? They like honey a whole lot more than they do vinegar. You get the point?
Amen.
I can stick a little saucer of honey out in the yard, and there will be thousands, I'm talking thousands of bees that will be attracted to it. Put a cup of vinegar out there, and guess what comes to it? Maybe some flies. The honey, the bees are not attracted to it. Now listen, friends, let's speak positive about Jesus and what he's done in our life. If Jesus has touched you, if Jesus has changed you, if Jesus has blessed you, let's be positive about that to the world around us. Let's give this good news of the gospel to the world because they long to hear it. There are people dying and going to a Christless grave, and God depends on you and I to give this message of hope to the world. Probation is near.
Amen.
It's coming to an end. This world is not going to be any longer, but praise God, he's got a better place for you and I.
Amen.
Yeah. It's much better than anything that we experience here on this earth. The world sees Jesus through us. That's the way God designed it. That once Jesus has touched our life and converted us and changed us and blessed us, the world needs to see Jesus through us. It was because of his ministry in Jerusalem and the witness that he gave to the people around him. It prepared the way for Jesus' ministry in Capernaum. The way that Jesus ministered to the people of Samaria, the way he witnessed, he didn't create any miracles there for them in Samaria. It was just his word only. The lady at the well took it back to the town, and everybody believed her word. And they came to see Jesus, and they believed on him as the Messiah. When this nobleman came to Jesus, he had his son who was sick and dying. You look at verse number 47 here. It says, when he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. The father of that boy had selfish motives. He wanted his son healed. Before he left home, he had already decided in his heart that if Jesus didn't work this miracle, he was not going to believe in him and accept him as the Messiah. He had already made up his mind. His faith was conditional, and I would venture to say that it is the same for many people today. That if Jesus doesn't bless me, if he doesn't answer my prayer, if he doesn't do what I tell him to do, then he's really not the Messiah. He's not God. Listen, Jesus is not our Aladdin. He's not a genie in a bottle where we rub it and out comes a genie who answers all of our requests. If your prayers are conditional, then you're just about like this man, this nobleman. The man did not see his own need. What he needed more than anything else was not just his son to be healed. He needed his own sin-sick soul to be healed as well. And I would venture to say that there are many of us today that need that same thing. We need Jesus to come into our life, to heal us, to change us, to forgive us, to cleanse us. We need Jesus today. We can't put this off till the future. The time is running out. It's running out for everyone, friends. You think about all of the disasters that are sweeping across this world, all the evil that is everywhere you look. We have no guarantee for life. The only guarantee we have is the promise of God that Jesus has gone back to heaven to prepare a place for us. And someday he's coming back to this earth to take us to that beautiful place he's promised. We can trust by faith that Jesus is a man who will stand by his promise. He is God, and he will do what he says he will do. This nobleman, he needed to change from his selfishness and his self-centeredness, and he needed to accept God's divine grace. You look with me here in Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2 and at verse number 4. Here in Romans chapter 2 at verse 4, it says, Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God lead thee to repentance? You see, this man needed to be able to feel that goodness of God in his heart. He needed a change of life. In verse number 48 here in John chapter 4, it says, "Then Jesus said unto him, Except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe." Well, how different is that from us? Oftentimes we pray hoping that God will do something, and if he does, yeah, we're going to be one of his children. We'll be faithful to God. We'll do what he says. And how many times have people made promises that if God will heal them, if God will answer the problem, and God will take away all of the issues of life for them and make it nice and easy for them, they're going to follow God with all of their heart. And how many times have they failed to do that? How many times have we been weak and refused to do what we promised God? Want to see signs and wonders, and maybe that will make us believe. In verse number 39, it said that many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, "He told me all things ever that I did." That's a frightening thought, isn't it? Mercy me. There are some things we'd like to forget. There are some things that we hope nobody else will ever find out. But yet Jesus knows it all. And Jesus brings that back to our memory to show us their need for his forgiveness and cleansing. Some of those things we have forgotten, and Jesus brings it back to us so that we can ask for forgiveness and the cleansing that his blood offers us. In verse number 48, the nobleman had already made conditions on the Messiahship of Jesus, that if Jesus would work this miracle for him, that he was going to believe. When we're devoid of faith, we make the answers to prayer conditional. We need to see evidence first. And sometimes our faith fails when our wishes are not complied with by Jesus. We want to blame God because things aren't working. How many times have you ever heard, like I have, "I've tried God, I've tried church, it doesn't work"? Do you ever think that maybe the reason it doesn't work is us? It is our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Maybe it's because of our selfishness in our heart. We put conditions on God. And we blame him because things don't work out the way we want them to. It's really our fault. Our lack of faith short circuits the blessings that God wants to give. He wants his power to be present in our life. And sometimes we stop that. We stop that because we don't believe in him as we should. Sometimes prayers are not answered because we're not ready to receive what God wants to give us. He doesn't always answer in the way we request. Sometimes he gives us something we never thought of, in a way we never dreamed of. Sometimes it's different than what we're asking from God. And because of that, because it's not exactly the way we requested it from God, we oftentimes blame him that he didn't answer our request. God is all-knowing, all-seeing, all-powerful. He knows what is best for every one of us. And he answers those requests in accordance to his will, because he knows what's best for each one of us. In verse number 49 of John chapter 4, it says, "The nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down ere my child die." The nobleman sees his need. He responds to Jesus. He sees that he could be responsible for the death of his son because of his lack of faith. "Come down, my child might die." You know, he's here in this point, he's wrestling with God like Jacob did. In Genesis chapter 32, verse 26, he's got this wrestling with God. "Can I give my heart to Jesus? He hadn't worked any miracles. I haven't seen him do anything for me yet. Should I give my life to him?" He's struggling with that. The Savior will not leave someone who clings to him, friends, for help. If someone is pleading to Jesus to help them, Jesus does not turn away from that. Jesus is there to help us through the struggles and difficulties of life. And oftentimes, we don't recognize all the things that God is doing for us through Jesus Christ. In verse number 50, Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy son liveth." And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. You see, the belief system of this man changed because Jesus came into his heart and gave him strength and power to believe. And because of that change of heart in him, God answered his prayer. The nobleman went away with peace and joy in his heart that he had never felt before. Listen, friends, we can go through life enjoying all the blessings that God gives us and never experience a conversion of the heart. And all of those things, all the money in the bank and the nice houses and cars and everything else that we enjoy in this life, it cannot give us peace and joy. The only thing that can do that to give us the peace of our life, to give us the joy in our heart, is to have Jesus Christ in us, converting us, changing us. This is what happened with this nobleman. He went away happy, joyful, peaceful, because he had experienced Jesus personally. What about you? Where are you at with Christ today? Where are you at with Jesus? Do you have peace in your heart? Is there joy in your life? Is Jesus the king of your heart? Is Jesus in your life today? You see, this is what Jesus longs for every one of us. He longs that we will have him supreme in our life. This nobleman now believed that Jesus could heal his son, and he went away trusting in Jesus Christ as the Redeemer of his soul. And I wonder how many miracles it would take in this place, in our homes, in our churches, in our community. How many would happen if we would only believe and step out in faith, believing that God is real and that he does hear and answer prayers, that he has the power to change things for us? How many miracles would be in our houses and in our churches if we would only believe and trust in God? In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says this: "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." And friends, I'm encouraging you today. No matter what the struggles of life that you go through, no matter how often the devil comes back to you and tempts you to follow in a path that leads you to destruction, no matter what kind of grief you bear, no matter how many problems you face, no matter how many times you've fallen and you've gotten back up because of Jesus, no matter what happens in your life, friends, we need to be able to not give up. We should not be discouraged. Search your heart and believe. And like this nobleman, wrestle with God. Trust in him. And allow God to do something in you. You see, faith comes before conversion. And that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives us faith. Faith does not save us. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says that, "For by grace are you saved through faith." Faith is the vehicle that leads us to the grace of God. Every good and great gift that comes to us comes down from God out of heaven. And the Holy Spirit leads us to that faith in God. Faith comes before conversion does. The nobleman and his family are converted. You look in the story here in verse number 53. "So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house." Isn't that amazing? Yeah. That's what happened with the lady at the well. She went back to the city and told everybody everything about Jesus the Messiah. The whole city came out and welcomed Jesus into their life. What a witness. What a witness for you and I, friend. What our belief in God can do to the people around us. This father believed. And because of that belief, his household believed as well. The consistent witness of a Christian has great power. But if we're only Christians at church, friends, that's pretty weak. We need to be a Christian 7 days a week. And I know we oftentimes get relaxed. We go to our homes and we kind of let our hair down, so to speak. And we do things and say things that are different than what we would do and say at church. God is asking for a complete conversion and surrender of our life to Jesus Christ. And he wants our households to be saved as well. And how many times have we missed out on the blessings and the miracles of God because our faith has been weak? The nobleman and his family were converted. The prayers are answered, and it confirms who Jesus is, and it leads us to conversion. Many times in my ministry, I've conducted anointings for people who had serious issues in life. And we have watched how God has interceded in their behalf. They believed that Jesus still had the power to speak from heaven and to be able to answer prayers for them. And we have seen miracles worked in the behalf of the people because Jesus worked that miracle through faith of the individual. That nobleman had to accept Jesus' word that his son would be healed. That exact time, at 1:00 in the afternoon, that boy was healed as Jesus spoke it. Jesus wasn't at the nobleman's house. He spoke it and it happened. Listen, friends, Jesus is up in the heaven in the sanctuary above. He's ministering for every one of us today. He's praying for us. And he can speak his word today and bring the miracle and healing that every one of us need. We first have to have faith. We need to be able to trust in him. We need to have a full conversion and surrender to him. We can't be half Jesus's and half the world's. Ellen White writes in Steps to Christ that we are either completely and fully God's or we're not his at all. Where are you at with Jesus today, friend? Do you have a complete surrender to Jesus? You want a miracle to overcome the temptations that the devil puts before you? Then surrender to Jesus completely and fully today. I'm appealing to you in the name of Jesus. This nobleman, even though he wanted to see it happen before he would believe in Jesus, we need to learn this lesson too. Stop putting conditions on Jesus' messiahship. We need to trust in Jesus, believe that he will answer our request as he sees fit, and leave the results to him. Listen to this. I was reading in this book called Desire of Ages. Are you familiar with that? Ellen White wrote this book. On page 200 in paragraph 4, this is what she said about the nobleman. The nobleman wanted to see the fulfillment of his prayer before he should believe. But he had to accept the word of Jesus that his request was heard and the blessing granted. This lesson we also have to learn. Not because we see or feel that God hears us are we to believe. We are to trust in his promises. When we come to him in faith, every petition enters the heart of God. When we have asked for his blessing, we should believe that we receive it and thank him that we have received it. Then we are to go about our duties, assured that the blessing will be realized when we need it the most. When we have learned to do this, we shall know that our prayers are answered, and God will do for us exceedingly abundantly according to the riches of his glory and the working of his mighty power. And I say praise God today. Pray with me if you will. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Father, that we can trust in you. Increase our faith. Help us to stop putting conditions on you. And I pray, Father, that as we step out in faith, that we will surrender our life completely and fully to you today, that you would convert us in areas of our life that are needed, and that our blessings can flow out to people around us. We thank you for hearing and answering our prayer today. Give us the faith and grace that we need to be able to walk by faith and not by sight, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our closing hymn today is number 520. Please stand as we sing.
A wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. shall not be moved. He giveth me strength as my dam. He hideth my soul in a cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand. With numberless blessings each moment he crowns, and filled with his fullness divine, I sing in my rapture, O glory to God, for such a Redeemer as mine. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand. When clothed in his brightness, transported I rise to meet him in clouds of the sky. His perfect salvation, his wonderful love, I'll shout with the millions on high. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand.
As we prepare to pray, I wonder if there's someone here today. You've been hesitant to accept Christ as your Savior. You've been waiting for him to work some miracle before you say to Jesus, come into my heart and save me. Is there someone here today you'd just like to raise your hand to heaven and say, Lord, come into my heart. Thank you. Is there someone else? You want Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. Is there anybody here that today you would like to keep this Jesus in your heart and you want a full surrender in your life to him? How many of you like to say today, I want to surrender all to Jesus? Thank you. Pray with me if you will. Heavenly Father, I pray, Father, for your blessing upon each one of us today. I pray that through the power of your grace, that we would surrender our life completely and fully to you and be a powerful witness to our homes, to our friends and family, and to people around us, that they could see Jesus Christ living in us, and that your glory would be present with each one of us. Thank you, Father, for your promises to us. Help us to live by faith in those promises, because we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.